Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 I'm reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text number 5. Antakale cha mam eva smaran mutva kalivaram ya prayati sa madbhavam yati na asti atra sanshayah antakale chamam eva smaran muktva kalivaram ya prayati sa madbhavam yati nastyatra sangsayah antakale cha mam eva smaran mutva kalivaram ya prayati sa matpavam yati na asti atra sangsayah and whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt. Purport. In this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord.
Aki Krishna tudatban hagyja el testét, az azonnal a legfelsőbb transzcendentális hajlétára kerül.
The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure.
A legfelsőbb Úr a tisztán kettisztánja.
Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure.
Ezért akik mindig Krishna tudatosak, azok szintén a legtisztábbak a tiszták között.
The word smaran, remembering, is important.
A smaran, emlékezés szónak nagy jelentősége van.
Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service.
A tisztátalan lélek, aki élete során nem gyakorolta a Krishna tudatot, azaz nem végzett odaadó szolgálatot, nem tud Krishnára emlékezni.
Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life.
A Krishna tudat gyakorlását kora gyermekkorommal kell elkezdenünk.
If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential.
Ha valaki élete végén sikert akar elérni, elengedhetetlen, hogy gyakorolja a Krishnára való emlékezés folyamatát.
Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Állandóan születni, akkor a Maha Mantrát kell énekelni.
Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree, Taroy Ivasi Hishnana.
Az Úr Csétanya azt parancsolta, legyünk olyan végetőrek, mint egy fa, Taroy Ivasi Hishnana.
There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, so that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness.
Számtalan akadály állhat annak az útjába, aki a Hare Krishnát énekli, ám a nehézségeket eltűnve az embernek folytatnia kell a Mama Mantra éneklését, hogy élete végén a Krishna-tudat teljes állásával része lehessen.
Om Gyanati Marandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Chakshu Unminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Bukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pujarini Nirvishesha Shanyavari Paschachadi Sitarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasani Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I have chosen this verse today because I would like to dedicate this class to the remembrance of a godbrother who departed yesterday. I think Shiva Maharaj mentioned a little bit about it this morning in his class in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nonetheless, I'd like to speak about this devotee. His name is Nirguna Das. It's important to understand what we say about him as an example for all of us. Because all of us have to face the same circumstance sooner or later. Parikshit Maharaj asked a question to Shukadeva Goswami, what is the duty of a man who is about to die? Shukadeva Goswami said it's his duty to hear about, to glorify, to remember the Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Super Soul and the Savior from all miseries.
Azt válaszolta, hogy a halálra készülően ennek a tenessége van, hogy az Isten sőnek felső személyiségéről dicsőíteni őt, aki a felső élet mindenki szívében és minden gyötrelmet elpusztítója.
The ultimate duty of a person who's about to die is also described in this, elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
A Srimad Bhagavatam máshol is ír a halálra készülően ennek a tenességéről.
Étában szamkirjogja, bjánszvárdama paranistaya, jannalabha parapongsam, anti narayana smati. That the highest perfection that a man can achieve, whether by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic yoga, or by perfectly executing one's prescribed duties, eight is anti narayana smriti, is to remember the Supreme Lord Narayan at the time of giving up this body. Elsewhere in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one very wonderful verse which also describes how merciful the Lord is to one who remembers him. Shukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Parikshit, my dear king, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the ultimate controller of all living entities. He is the Supreme Soul,
ő a legfelsőbb lélek.
And he is the supreme shelter for all living beings.
És ő minden élő létésre menedéke.
When meditated upon, especially by those who are about to die,
amikor meditálnak rajta, főleg azok, akik a halálra készülnek,
he reveals to them their eternal transcendental spiritual identity. That is Shukadeva Goswami's verse to Pariksha Maharaj in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it very nicely describes how the Supreme Lord reveals in to that devotee his eternal identity when one meditates upon him when he is about to die.
És nagyon szépen leírja, hogy hogyan tárja föl az Úr az embernek az örök lelki azonosságát, hogyha rajta meditál, amikor készül meghalni.
Of course, there is also the verse in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that etan nivijamanam ichchito akato bhayam yoginam nipaninitam harer namanukirtanam, that the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all.
Srimad Bhagavatam második énekében is szerepel egy vers, ami azt mondja, hogy az Úr szellemének éneklése a kétségek és félelem nélküli út mindenki számára.
Whether one is freed from all material desires,
akár mentes valaki minden anyagi vágytól,
whether one is full with material desires,
akár teli van anyagi vágyokkal,
or whether one is fully satisfied by dint of his transcendental knowledge. So this verse in the Bhagavatam describes how chanting Hare Krishna is the doubtless and fearless way of success for everyone. And it's interesting to note in this verse where Krishna talks about whoever remembers me at the time of death. I'm speaking about this verse that we read today in Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada says that it is very difficult for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness and devotional service to remember Krishna at the time.
Srila Prabhupada says that it is very difficult
for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness and devotional service to remember Krishna at the time. But he emphasized that remembrance of the Lord is
As
he repeated the Maha Mantra twice in the commentary as a means for remembrance of the Lord. So as we were saying, that the example which is shown by this devotee and also by other Vaishnavas at the time of death is that the perfection is to be able to remember the Supreme Lord. The Lord is very merciful upon the conditioned soul. And he says that to those who are always endeavoring, meditating upon them, upon me, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have.
Azt mondja, hogy aki mindig törekszik, hogy rajta meditáljon, azoknak elhozom, amire szükségük van, és megőrzöm, amiük van.
So if, even though one may not be fully situated in complete Krishna consciousness at the time of death, if the devotee is endeavoring to meditate on the Lord, then whatever lack there is, the Lord will give to the devotee.
Tehát, hogy valaki nem teljesen visszatöltös a halálnak pillanatában, de hogyha törekszik arra, hogy az Úr meditáljon, akkor bármi hiány is van, az Úr ezt elhozza.
And we can understand that this is the merciful nature of the Lord. Prabhupada always used to give the example that if you take one step towards Krishna, then Krishna will take 100 steps towards you. He used that example with respect to that verse in Bhagavad Gita when Krishna says, whatever you have, I'll preserve, and whatever you lack, I'll throw it in for you. Of course, this is that story Prabhupada tells in relationship to that verse about Arjunacharya. It's not directly related, I'll just tell it briefly. About the Brahmana, a name of Junacharya, who was reading Bhagavad Gita and writing his commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. He was a very poor, impoverished Brahmin who lived by begging. Every day he would go out and beg a little food and he would maintain himself and his wife. He was absorbed, he was in the teachings of he just got a big smile from Shiva. All right. I'll take that as a blessing. He was absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord. So when he came upon this verse of Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Kshema Vaham Yaham, where Krishna says, I will carry whatever they lack. He was thinking, why should Krishna carry for me? And he thought it must have been a mistake in the original version of the Bhagavad Gita, that this word Vahami was there, and he crossed it out and he put the word Karomi, which means I arrange. In other words, he was thinking like, why would Krishna personally carry whatever I lack? I'm just an impoverished Brahmin, but why should he do something like that for me? And he was thinking that therefore there must be some mistake here, so he crossed the word Vahami and put this word Karomi instead, and then he went out to beg as he normally does each morning. And while he was out begging, two boys came to the door and they were carrying a big basket of vegetables and fruits. And they said to the wife of Arjunacharya, here, quickly take these foods. Take them quickly, we have to run away before your husband strikes us again. She was astonished. She was stunned. She knew her husband was a very gentle Brahmin. He would never strike anyone. She was trying to understand what these boys meant. She tries to defend her husband, saying, no, it's not possible. My husband wouldn't strike anybody. One of the boys turned around and showed his back, and on his back there was lashes across his back. He said, you see this? This is what your husband did to me. Two boys quickly left. So when Arjunacharya returned home, he saw that the wife had prepared a big meal, wondering where all the ingredients came from. Well, the wife said to her, so why would you strike a young boy? And then Junacharya denies, I didn't strike anybody. She said, well, there were two young boys who brought all this food for us to prepare for more than what we need, and they left it here and said that you struck them. And then Junacharya could understand. He went back over to the commentary and he looked that verse where he had struck the words Vahami out and put Karomi, and he saw that was the word Vahami was back there again, and he could understand it was Krishna that brought everything to the house.
És amikor a javulásért
So the point is that Krishna will carry whatever we lack, even if we don't have full remembrance of Him. Krishna will appear in our minds, even if we can't fully remember Him. The secret is the constant endeavor. Krishna says, Desham Satatam Yuktanam Bhajatam Pitipurvakam, the Dami Buddha Yogam Tam Yinamamupuyantite. To those who are constantly endeavoring, worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. Therefore, even if when the time of death comes for one who is practiced in Krishna consciousness, even though the devotee may not be perfected in his practices of spiritual life, the Lord will take care of and make arrangement if the devotee simply endeavors to remember Him. This devotee, as I said, who departed yesterday, his name is Nirguna Das. He's my godbrother. He was a book distributor for practically 35 years. He was very, very steady, always going out distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Even up to recently, he would from time to time go out and distribute books. I say from time to time because he was a householder and he had many other arrangements he had to attend to in family life because he had a very difficult family life. And in fact, his wife left him about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. He was too Krishna conscious for her. He was just, that was the type of person. It was like Krishna consciousness is first, and I'll bend, but don't ask me to drop my Krishna consciousness, please. He tried everything, but still his wife thought that, I don't need to discuss things, they're not immediately relevant, but married life can be very troublesome. In fact, it makes me think of one, I don't want to digress too much, but it makes me think of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to household life. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Prahlad Maharaj was speaking to Hiranyakashipu, describing those who are embarrassed by household life have entered the deep dark well, griha andakupam, of household life. Of course, it doesn't have to be a deep dark well. But those who are too attached and enter into this deep dark well, then it is best for them to renounce everything and go to the forest and remember Krishna. That was the essence of Prahlad Maharaj's instructions to Hiranyakashipu when he wanted to know from Prahlad what he was learning in school. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary to this verse, he describes about a king who is in the forest hunting. While in the forest hunting, he was being chased by a tiger. and he could not properly defend himself from the tiger in the forest. He did not have proper weapons to do so. So he decided to take shelter of a well to avoid being confronted by the tiger. So he grabbed onto two branches of a tree and lowered himself into the well so that the tiger couldn't get to him. The tiger immediately lunged at the well and showed its fierce teeth into the king. He was holding on very tightly to these two branches. And as he was lowering himself to the well, he saw that on the bottom of the well there was no water. There were only serpents. Venomous serpents. And the serpents were looking up, trying to catch him and to try to bite the king. So these venomous serpents on the bottom of the well, they're compared to be like all the troubles of household life. And the tiger represents death. Death is there, and everyone's trying to avoid death by grabbing on to two branches.
A halál ott van, és mindenki el fogja érni, de próbáljuk elkerülni azáltal, hogy két ágba kapaszkodunk.
And these two branches are compared to be like pious and impious activities.
Ez a két ág olyan, mint a jámbor és a bűnös vette.
But while the king is holding on and trembling, holding on to these two branches, there are two mice who are gnawing away with their teeth at the branches.
Miközben a király kapaszkodik ebből a két ágba, két kisegér elkezdi rágni ezeket az ágokat.
One is a black mouse, another one is a white mouse. And they represent day and night. So day and night is coming, is passing, and the householder is in the well. He can't, the serpents waiting to strike him with their venomous poison. And the tiger of death is standing outside the well, and he's taking shelter of these two branches, which in the course of time, as day and night passes, are going to ultimately be destroyed. And on these two branches, there happens to be a beehive. And all the bees are buzzing around and stinging him. These appear to be like the material desires, which are constantly biting one. But still, coming from the beehive, there is some honey dripping down the branch. And while he's holding on to the branches, trembling out of fear of his life, this honey comes down the branch, and he licks it and he thinks, oh, this is very nice. And this is compared to be like the sex enjoyment in household life. There's some taste there, but what about everything else? The tiger of death, the venomous serpents, two mice gnawing away the pious and impious activities, being stung by bees, and this honey that is dripping down the branches. It's very sweet. So this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse of
Balagamaraja.
He gives us a very graphic picture to help us understand how to avoid the griham andukupam of the dark well of materialistic household life. Because certainly if one utilizes household life as an opportunity to remember the Lord and to center one's life on the Lord, then our acharyas would always encourage household life for those who are used for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Sunya Guna Prabhu had a very troublesome household life. But he was very, as I said, his troublesome was the source of his trouble was because he was Krishna conscious. And he was determined to remain in Krishna conscious. And he was very determined to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And he was very absorbed in Srila Prabhupada's preaching mission. I remember one small, not a small, very significant story that happened about a little more than 10 years ago with Nirguna Prabhu. I've told this story many times, even in Nirguna Prabhu's presence, because it really struck me as the type of person he is. He was distributing books in America. And he was with a group of three other devotees distributing. And he had just come, it was night time, and he was coming from the place where they were distributing books. They were walking across a very wide road. And there was a car coming, and it was going about 35, 40 miles an hour. I don't know what that is in kilometers. And it was going to hit these three devotees that were with him. So Nirguna Prabhu, with all his strength, and he's not a very big person, he's just kind of a short person. He ran and pushed them all out of the way, and he got hit. And the others weren't hit, but he was hit. He was thrown 20 feet into the air. And he landed right on the asphalt on the road. And he was immediately taken to the hospital. And I was there. I happened to be in the town, maybe 15 miles away, and somebody called and said, Nirguna Prabhu is in the hospital, and he described what happened. So I was with another devotee, also God brother, so we said, let's immediately go see what kind of condition he is. He said he was in very serious condition. There were a lot of broken bones in his body. We got to the hospital and we asked if we could see this person, and we were told he's still in surgery. He cannot be seen, so if you want to wait, you can wait. If the doctors allow you to see him after surgery, then you can see him.
Amikor odaértünk, akkor mondták, hogy még mindig bent van a sebészetben, műtik, és most nem tudják megnézni, hogyha akartok, várhattok.
Many bones had been broken in his body. They had to put, what they call those, nails and pieces, bones, to put his bones back together. And we waited several hours for the surgery to be complete. And when he was brought back, he was back to consciousness because he had been under general anesthesia.
És amikor vége volt a műtétnek, akkor kihozták, és eszméleti eszélyek, mert algatásról volt előttem.
So we begged the doctors and saying he's a very close friend of ours, please let us just see him just for a little time. And the doctors agreed they'd let us go in.
Könyörögtök az orvos, hogy nagyon közeli barátunk, és legalább egy rövid időre majd láthassuk, és az orvos beengedett.
And his body was from neck to toe all bandaged up. He was in traction, I think, what they call it, the suspend the body, they call it traction. His body suspended so you can't move it.
Tehát valami olyan ágyon feküdt, ahol ilyen mozdulatlanságot tudták tartani.
So he couldn't turn his head, he didn't see who was coming into the room.
Nem tudta a fejét se fordítani, és így nem látta, hogy ki jön a szobában.
So I kind of walked into the room and I finally stood in front of him and I said, Hari Bol, Nirguna Prabhu.
És akkor beléptem, és így úgy hajoltam, hogy látassam, és mondtam, hogy Hari Bol, Nirguna Prabhu.
And he's like, he says, Naranjana Maharaj, Hare Krishna. How's the preaching in the Soviet Union? I was thinking, what kind of yogi is this? I was so astonished. He just kept on talking. Maharaj, what's happened in the Soviet Union? Did you just get back? How are the devotees doing there? Is book distribution going nicely? And he just kept on asking all these questions and talking about preaching. And he wouldn't even let me ask him a question about his body. He didn't even want to talk about it. You know, so I had to sit down in the chair in front of him and I had to start telling him about all the preaching in the Soviet Union. And he said, this is nectar, keep on going, Maharaj. So that gives you a little idea of the kind of devotee Nirguna Prabhu was. He was just absorbed in preaching. He wasn't thinking of himself, he was just thinking about Prabhupada's mission. We did speak for quite some time. We spoke for about, doctors let us stay for about a half hour. And then before I was leaving, Nirguna Prabhu, he said, Maharaj, he said, I beg you, I can't fold my hands, but I plead with you, can you please bless me? He said, whatever happens is in Krishna's hands to me. He said, but please bless me that I can distribute Srila Prabhupada's books for the rest of my life.
Azt mondta, hogy ami történik fog, az Krishna kezében van, de kérlek, add az áldásaidat, hogy az életem további részében is osztani tudjam Srila Prabhupada könyveit.
That was his prayer. That was his desire.
Ez volt a vágya.
And earlier this year, I think it was sometime around April, Nirguna Prabhu called me. I was in America.
Idén azt hiszem, hogy április körül lehetett, amikor Nirguna Prabhu felhívott, és Amerikában voltam.
And I had gotten close with him over the last few years because when his marriage fell apart, he wanted to preach. So I made arrangements for him to come to Ukraine and give seminars on book distribution and to inspire the book distributors in Ukraine and in Russia.
Az utóbbi pár évben közel kerültünk egymáshoz, amikor a házassága szétesett, akkor prédikálni akart, és segítettem neki elrendezéseket tenni, hogy prédikálni tudjon, és eljött Ukrajnába és Oroszországba, a szemináriumokat tartott, könyvosztásra prédikált.
He tried to see everything as a sign of Krishna for him to dedicate his life to preaching, that all these things that were happening with his married life. So he called me to tell me that the doctors had found some tumor in his body. And it took them months to identify it. And they still didn't know what it was, really.
And
it's the medical system in America is terrible. It's very commercial.
In
other words, cost a lot of money. And if you don't have enough money, then they put you through a very, very slow procedure for getting treatment. And it took them 2 months to find that there was some tumor and it was strangling his heart and other organs in the body. And so he had called me to ask if I thought that maybe something could happen a little faster if he went to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, so I tried to make some arrangement for him in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So he went to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and after a short time they recommended that he simply go to hospice care. They didn't think there was anything that could be done. They tried chemotherapy and it wasn't working. He sent me this letter. I wanted to read it.
It's the part of it.
He said, after my first day of chemotherapy, I felt better than I have for 2 months. He said, on May 31st, even before my first chemotherapy treatment, I was granted some realizations. Previously, I have realized that anything can happen to anyone at any time. Now I am aiming to live as fully in the present as much as possible. Utilizing each moment to its fullest potential. Meaning spiritual potential. As much as I can. And being forever and always grateful for everything. Since I am eternal and on the spiritual path, anything that comes to be is all auspicious. I don't have to worry or care about that. It's given. So I can and will manifest, experience perfect satisfaction at all times, at every moment. As soon as I accepted these granted realizations, the monsoon rains began. I felt this as an auspicious omen, and it was comforting, soothing, and reaffirming. Whatever happens, I accept. Okay, that's what it is. Now, just as the doctor told me 2 months ago that I have a large mass in my chest. Okay, that's what is. Now what's next? I'm ready to be detached from this world and all it offers. In fact, I've already processed it. And I was okay with it. Ultimately, Krishna is in charge. And the ride he's taking me on is what I need for my purification. I wish to serve him. And he wishes that I do so. And he loves and even serves me. So we don't know what will come. But although I'm trying to be accepting and grateful for whatever, I'm going for disease eradicated and serving fully for many more years to come. In other words, he's going to try to eradicate his disease and continue his service for years. I'm grateful for being surrounded by so many caring devotees. Serving my many needs. I'm also grateful for you for sending your concern and love and praying to Krishna on my behalf. I'm truly extremely fortunate and grateful. Thank you very much, your servant, Nirgunadas. He was very much accepting of his condition. In fact, as Maharaj mentioned this morning, Actually, I spoke to Nirgun about 2 weeks ago, maybe it was. And he told me he was experiencing a lot of pain. He's always trying to find the right balance between trying to stay in clear consciousness and not taking too much drugs so that you can be in clear consciousness.
Próbált egyensúlyt találni a között, hogy jó tiszta tudatban tudjon lenni, és ne kelljen túl sok gyógyszert szednie.
Because we want to remember Krishna at the time of death. So he was also trying to find the balance of not taking too much medications to overcome the pain in his body so that he could still remember Krishna. When I spoke to him 2 weeks ago, he said he was experiencing a lot of pain. But he was very positive and he kept on using the word grateful so many times. It made me think of a... Can I continue if it's okay? I'm just going to continue a little bit more. It made me think of another recent experience I had with another god brother of mine. I have a god brother in America who earlier this year had a heart attack. He was a very simple devotee, very hard-working devotee. And one morning while he was going to work, he works by selling flowers, and he donates all of his money practically to the temple and to devotees. And he lives in some corner of the basement of the temple room. He doesn't even have any furniture. He sleeps in a little sleeping bag in the corner. In the basement of the temple room. And he works all day, every day, making money and using all his money for Krishna service. So one day he was on his way to work, and he felt some pain, and it got very severe, and he didn't know what to do. So he knew somebody who lived nearby, so he drove to that person's house and said, he knocked on the door, and it was like 4:30 in the morning. And he woke up the person, obviously, and he said, "Why are you coming so early to get your car fixed?" Because he usually goes to this person's house. It was his mechanic for fixing his car. He said, "Well, I don't think it's my car this time. I think it's something else that needs to be fixed." He asked him, "What's the matter?" He said, "I can't do anything anymore. I can't move." So the mechanic understood that something serious was happening to him, so immediately threw him in the car and took him to the hospital. And in that hospital, they couldn't treat him, so they had to bring in a helicopter to airlift him to another hospital to treat him. And then in that other hospital, they had to do some minor operation to open up the blocked valve, and it was in his heart, otherwise he would have left his body. So I was with him a lot of the time after his operation. And he was healing, he was getting a little bit better. So I asked him, "Why don't you come share your realizations at the Sunday program and give a little talk about your realizations you had about with your heart attack?"
And megvalósításaidról, amiket a szívrohamod során kaptál.
And this devotee, he's very, as I said, he's a very simple devotee. He's not a big preacher, but he's given everything. He's given his life to serving Prabhupada's mission.
Ahogy mondtam, ez a bakta egy nagyon egyszerű bakta volt, de nagyon keményen dolgozott, és mindent odaadott Prabhupádhoz.
He gave a very simple lecture about gratitude. People were asking, well, what were you thinking about when you were being lifted in a helicopter? And he said, you just have to remember Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, and gratitude takes over. It is a very simple statement, but very profound. Gratitude is a very, very, very important principle in spiritual life. And he made it sound so simple. He said, just remember Prabhupada and Krishna, and then gratitude will take over. Everything will be taken over by gratitude. When he gave this little simple talk at the Sunday feast, everybody after they just applauded, they loved it, his talk, because it was so much from the heart. So when I was speaking with Nirguna, I was remembering this devotee about gratitude, because Nirguna was saying the same thing. He says, I'm so grateful.
És amikor Nirgunával beszéltem, akkor erre a baktára gondoltam, de Nirguna is mindig ezt a hálát emlegette, hogy milyen hálás.
It takes some realization to be in a situation like that, lying on one's deathbed, and to be able to be joyful and grateful for what Krishna is doing for one's, to one.
Kell, hogy az embernek legyenek megvalósításai ahhoz, hogy halottaságnak feküdve az ember vidám és hálás tudjon lenni azért, amit Krishna tesz vele.
And despite that he was feeling so much pain, he kept on, he used the word gratitude at least 10 times.
És annak ellenére, hogy olyan fájdalmai voltak, legalább 10-szer használtak.
I'm so grateful to the devotees, I'm so grateful to my god brothers, I'm so grateful to Krishna for putting me in this situation in Mayapur Dham.
Olyan hálás vagyok a baktáknak, olyan hálás vagyok Krishnának.
I said, because he was in Mayapur. He was so grateful for Krishna bringing him to Mayapur to leave his body. And just 2 days ago, before he left his body, he had a dream. And in this dream, Radharani and the gopis and appeared to him in the dream. And when he woke up the following morning, he told, he said, Radharani and the gopis came to me in the dream. And they invited me to come with them. So, and then 2 days later, he departed with Govardhan Shila. He had two Shilas. One Shila was in his hand, the other one was out next to his head, and 100 devotees were chanting Hare Krishna. So much mercy. We can understand that this type of, when Shukadeva Goswami says in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he said that the Supreme Lord, he is the ultimate controller. He's the supreme shelter for all living beings. And when meditated upon, at the time of giving up, at the time of dying, then the Supreme Lord will reveal one's eternal spiritual form. Well, Prabhupada says here in this verse, he says to remember Krishna at the time of death is not possible for the impure soul. So we can understand how purifying it is to take part in the Sankirtan movement. Prabhupada said there may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna.
ám a nehézségeket eltűrve az embernek folytatnia kell a Hare Krishna jelentését.
Tatendu kampam susamikshamano bhujaneva megvitambu pakam. We know this verse in Bhagavatam, very famous verse. One who tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma, due to his past misdeeds. Who always seeks your compassion. Always glorifies you with body, mind, and words. Mukti padesa dayabhag, then for him, dayabhag, he inherits his liberation. He's given, he inherits liberation for him, is automatically there. If he simply tolerates all these activities, these obstacles that come, and goes on serving Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example. He said, in reference to this verse, Mukti Padesa Dayabhag. Dayabhag means inheritance. Just like if a person, if his parents die, they leave him some inheritance. All he has to do with, he just has to live. And the inheritance will come.
Meghalnak a szülei, és örökséget hagynak rá, akkor csak annyit kell tenni, hogy élnie kell, és akkor megkapja az örökséget.
There's nothing else that needs to be done. He just has to live. And he gets the inheritance. In the same way for a devotee. The inherit Mukti Padesa Dayabhag means he inherits. He gets what is his rightful claim. His rightful claim is liberation, to be engaged in pure devotional service. One simply tolerates all of these inconveniences and goes on chanting Hare Krishna. So we have so many examples, even in contemporary times, of devotees who have become Krishna conscious at the time of death. We should try to take advantage of these examples, because this is something that each and every one of us is going to have to face at one time or another. We should simply try to be grateful for whatever situation Krishna has put us in. Tolerate it. I remember the very first verse I learned in Krishna consciousness movement. Matra spashas tukunti asitoshna sukutukata. I memorized this verse on book distribution. Because book distribution for me in the very early years was very difficult. Sometimes I would cry because it was so hard for me. Tears, be approaching people with tears in my eyes. And it wasn't tears of ecstasy, neither was it tears of compassion. So I needed to find some shelter. So the very first verse I learned was Matra spashas tukunti asitoshna sukutukada. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception. One must learn to tolerate without being disturbed. So we have to learn to tolerate these impediments and to continue to remain grateful for whatever situation Krishna has put us in. If we live in this way, this is real life, then we'll get our inheritance. It's our rightful claim. All we have to do is live in Krishna consciousness. And our rightful claim will be given to us by Krishna. So, therefore, gratitude is very important, as we said. And a desire to serve the spiritual master in Krishna. And we simply somehow or other remain fortunate to take part in the Sankirtan mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then our destination is guaranteed. In many places Krishna gives his guarantee. In fact, in this verse he gives his guarantee. He says, you will attain me without doubt. Right? Just like in Yaidam Paramam Guyam Madbhaktesha Pitashati, he explains in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. For one who explains this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to others, for him devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he comes back to me. And he says, there's no servant in this world who is more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one who is more dear. So Krishna gives his guarantee. Krishna gives his guarantee that without doubt that I'm reading a different verse, that's text number 7. Oh no, he says also in text number 5, of this there is no doubt. He says in text number 5, he says, of this there is no doubt. In text number 6, he says, without fail. In text number 7, he says, you will attain me without doubt. So, if we can't accept Krishna's words, who can we accept? So we simply must accept Krishna's words with faith. So we're very fortunate to have living examples of devotees who have perfected their lives in Krishna consciousness. Because they dedicated their lives to serving Srila Prabhupada's movement and his mission for spreading Krishna consciousness for the welfare of others. We should be grateful to them for having given us their association. And if we can always remain grateful and Krishna conscious, we can be assured of the same success. So, I think I'll end here. Thank you very much.